Matthew chapter 4. When you find a place, for a moment we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Pray now the Lord will minister to our hearts by His Word. Let us seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the Gospel. We praise Thee that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And O Lord, we thank Thee that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We thank You, Lord, the Gospel reveals the plan and the way of salvation. Thank You that Christ died for the ungodly, that we can say Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Lord, we ask this morning that as Thy Word is proclaimed, that there will be a word in season for each one that is gathered here today. Bless Thy children, Lord. Grant to us that earnest and fervent desire to make Thy Word known, to see others brought into the gospel net and brought into the kingdom of God. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, should there be those in our midst, and as yet they're not in the kingdom, they're on that broad road that leads to destruction. O Lord, our earnest prayer is that they would recognize their state before Thee. Understand that life at best is very brief. That life is so uncertain. They need to be in time. And may they flee to Christ for refuge, for salvation, and for eternal life. Lord, I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words which Thou Thyself shall give, let them prevail this morning. May the people of God be edified, encouraged, and blessed. May sinners be converted, and Thy name glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to the words of verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. These words came very powerfully to my own heart just at the commencement and the start of the summer, just before I went on my own holidays at the commencement of the month of July. The Lord burdened them upon my heart. You'll see that they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that they were spoken to His first disciples, whom He was calling to the work of the apostleship and discipleship, namely to Peter and Andrew in particular. And there the Lord Jesus declares, follow Me. And He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. We can conclude that right at the commencement of the ministry and the work of the apostles or the disciples, the Lord challenged them. And the Lord revealed to them that part of their work, in fact, a large part of their work, perhaps we could say the main aspect of their work, was to catch or to win men for the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was teaching them the great aim, the great goal of the individual believer, of the Christian minister and the church in general, that aim and that goal was to win men for the Lord. If you turn over to the conclusion of Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 28, you will see something else that I think is very relevant to this idea that the Lord was teaching and instructing His disciples that the great aim, the chief aim and goal of their ministry was to win men to Christ. There in Matthew chapter 28, and from verse 18 to verse 20, we have recorded for us what we may term the Great Commission. And it's interesting to note that these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were spoken right at the end of His ministry, just before He ascended into heaven. The Lord has been crucified. The Lord has risen again from the dead. The Lord has been 40 days on this earth after His resurrection. And now He's about to leave His disciples. He's about to ascend into heaven itself. And before He goes, He has a word for His disciples. They're gathered with Him on the mount. And you'll notice that part of that word, or part of that ministry, the Lord gave to His disciples on this occasion. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that phrase can be translated, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, the gospel is to go to all nations. The gospel of salvation and redeeming grace. It is to go to the ends of the earth. And by teaching and by preaching the gospel, men will be made disciples. They will become Christians. They will become followers of Me. That's what the Lord is saying. And right at the end of the Savior's ministry, some of the final words that He spoke to His disciples before He entered back into heaven was to show them that the aim of their ministry, the goal of their ministry, was to win men to the Lord Jesus Christ. So right at the start, the commencement of the Lord's ministry, when He called His disciples, and at the end of His ministry, when He left His disciples, He impressed this great truth upon their souls, that they were to win men for the Lord. I think, in light of that, we should never lose sight of the great aim and goal of the individual Christian, the Christian minister, and the church of Jesus Christ in general. The Lord wants us to be fishers of men. And to illustrate their task, the Lord used a very simple illustration. The Lord was a simple, yet He was a sound preacher. And He used the illustration of the fisherman. Peter and Andrew, James and John, that was their trade. They went out in their little boats, their fishing boats, to Galilee, and they cast out the net and they brought in the fish. And the Lord uses that as an illustration to show them that their task would be to win men to the Lord. And there are so many similarities between fishing for the fish and fishing for men for the Lord Jesus. You know, the fisherman has to be proactive. The fish don't come to him. He has to go and catch the fish. I remember as a child, and I'm going to show my age here, I remember the old television sets that were a big box thing, and there was only four channels, and my granddad, he used to have a seat right beside the television, for there were no remote controls, so he sat right beside the television so he could just constantly flick through the four channels. And I remember in my grandparents' house, and one of the advertisements, and I want to make very clear, I'm not condoning what was advertised. But there was a particular advertisement of two fishermen, and I can't remember whether they were by a lake or they were by a river, but one, he's fishing and he is the bait on the hook and he's casting out and he's sitting by the river or the lake and he's catching nothing. And another fisherman comes along and he gets a large speaker and he puts it in the end of his line and he throws it into the river. And you can see the look of amazement on the second fisherman's face, and he thinks, what's he doing? And then he takes out an old record, and I can't remember whether it was Des O'Connor or Tom O'Connor, but it was some of them. And he puts it in the record player, and he begins to play, and next thing all the fish start jumping out of the lake or the river into the big net that he just sent beside the river or the lake, whatever it was. And it's very humorous, but it's devoid of reality. The fish don't come to the fisherman. The fisherman must go to where the fish are. And he must engage in the act of fishing. And so it is with the Christian. The believer must go and be proactive in seeking to spread the gospel, to win men to the Lord Jesus Christ. We might also say the fisherman has a specific need. Peter, James, John and Andrew. If they didn't catch any fish, they had no livelihood. If they didn't catch the fish, they had nothing. And is it not true to say that without the winning of men for Christ, where is the church's hope of survival? We often, in fact, we had a monthly prayer meeting. Some of the local ministers in the Southampton area. And I was always struck by one of the petitions one of the brethren used to pray. Used to pray month after month, Lord, it's not so much recycled Christians we're looking, it's soul salvation. And how true that is. For where is the church's hope of survival for the time to come without the winning of sinners to Jesus Christ in salvation? So the fisherman must be proactive and the believer must be proactive in seeking to win men. The fisherman had a specific need and the church has a specific need. You know, the fisherman had definite means. For Peter and Andrew and James and John, they would mend the net. They would go out on the little fishing boat on to Galilee and they would let down the net. That was the means whereby they were going to catch the fish. And if you read in Matthew 13, and I'm not going to take the time to turn to chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel, but right at the end of that chapter, the Lord Jesus himself told a parable. And he spoke about the net. The gospel net, he likened the kingdom under the net that was let down and it brought in all manner of fish. Men and women, our net is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will win men to the Lord. That's what Paul declared in Romans 1 and 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The means we have been given to win men to Christ is the gospel message. Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. For Paul could say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And what did he declare? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Was risen again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And that's the message that will win men to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been commissioned to spread as fishermen for the Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Now as I look at this text, I notice a number of striking lessons from the text itself. There are three things from the text this morning that I want to leave with you in our morning meeting. I want you to notice firstly, there's a great privilege in the text. And let's not miss the wee words in the verse. And there's one wee word in particular I want to emphasize. The Lord says, follow me, and I will make you. Do you notice that word, you? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What a privilege that the God of heaven would use man to bring others to himself. The Lord didn't have to use man, and he doesn't have to use man. But what a privilege it is that in His divine and sovereign will, He is so ordained that He uses men to bring others to Himself. We might well ask the question, who the Lord used? Who were these men that He declared He would make fishers of men? We might say they were saved men. He's speaking primarily of Peter and Andrew in this verse. Is it too simple to say that they were saved men? If you read John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 44 and 45, I think it is, you will discover that when you read those verses, that it seems to be that Andrew and Peter were converted a little while before. Andrew followed John the Baptist and he discovered the Messiah, and then he went and found his own brother Peter and he told Peter that he found the Messiah. And now, on another occasion, the Lord, a short time after, He's walking by Galilee. He sees them mending their nets, or certainly working by their nets, casting the net into the sea. He says, follow Me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Is it too simple to underline that and to emphasize it, that to serve the Lord, you must be saved? The Lord took those men, and those men who were saved and who had found and discovered the Messiah and trusted in Him, He now takes them and He thrusts them out into His service. We could mention further that these men, they were saved, but they were just simple men. By that I mean, they were just ordinary men. They were casting their nets into the sea. They were ordinary Joes, if you want to use a figure of speech. Ordinary men, working class men. And I find it interesting that when the Lord went to call His disciples and His apostles, and when He would give them that commission, and He would tell them they would become fishers of men, He didn't go to the universities of His day. He didn't go to the temple and find the doctors of the law. He didn't go to find the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the scribes. He came to just find the ordinary men there on the shores of Galilee. These are the men that were referred to in the book of Acts as simply being ignorant and unlearned men. They were looked down upon. They were frowned upon. And I want to be very clear. I am not decrying education. And for the young people, you get yourself the best education you can. But the point I'm making is this. You don't need letters coming out of your ears or after your name to be a servant of the Lord or to be used in His service. In fact, we find as we read the Scriptures that some of those who were used of the Lord to bring others to Christ, just the humble, ordinary folk. I'm thinking of Naaman. You remember Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And he was the captain of the host of Assyria. And he was, as it were, diagnosed with leprosy. He realized he was a leper. And eventually he came to find the prophet of the Lord. And eventually he dipped 7 times in Jordan and he was made clean. And he was a convert to the true God of heaven and earth. And who was it that first uttered the words to that man that there was a God in heaven and he'd a prophet in Israel and he could be recovered of his leprosy? It was a little maid, a slave girl, a servant girl who had been carried from Israel. And we don't even know her name. She was just the servant slave girl. And yet she spoke a word for her God. And she spoke a word, no doubt, for her Savior. And Naaman was converted to the Lord. Oh, the Lord used these men. They were saved. They were just simple men. Can I point out they were submissive men? You'll notice the Lord gave a command there in verse 19. Follow Me. and I will make you fishers of men. And look at verse 20, and they straightway, right away, they didn't put it off, but straight away they left their nets and followed him. There was the spirit of simple obedience to the Lord Jesus. And it's that spirit of simple obedience to the Lord and to his word that the Lord takes and uses. Here are the men then that the Lord used to win others to himself. What a privilege that is. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We might also ask the question, how did the Lord use them? How did the Lord use Andrew and Peter to win others to himself? We'll turn over to John chapter 1 for a moment. Look at those verses. I've already referred to them. It's actually verse 40. Verse 44 and 45 refer to Philip, another of the Lord's apostles. But if you look at verse 40 of John 1, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Could we say there that the Lord used these men firstly in means of personal evangelism? Andrew heard John speak, and he followed him, and he was converted, and then he went and he found his own brother, and he told his brother, we find the Christ, and he brought Peter to Jesus. And there you have an example of personal evangelism. He wasn't formally preaching. He was just telling his brother. We might broaden out the scope of application and say, he could find his friend, or you could find your friend. But here's an example of one who, just in a personal, in a quiet way, witnessed to someone else, and that person was brought to the Lord. If you turn over to Acts chapter 2, you'll see another way in which the Lord used these men. Not only in personal evangelism, but in public preaching. For there in Acts chapter 2, notice verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice. This chapter brings us to the day of Pentecost. And of course the apostles filled with the Holy Ghost began to speak in other tongues, foreign languages, and witness for Christ, and the Jews didn't understand it. And so Peter, standing up, he began to explain and he began to preach. And what you have then in Acts chapter 2 is Peter's public sermon on the day of Pentecost. And at the end of that sermon, notice at the end of that sermon, verse 40 and 41. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. So Peter publicly preached the word, and men were caught. They were won for Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, you have the example of the personal evangelist. Simply witnessing quietly and individually to another. And sometimes the two go hand in hand. I can think of two men in Antrim who both were saved very recently. Professed salvation. And after two Sunday services, they didn't wait behind to see the preacher. They simply told others in the congregation that got saved. But you know, before they ever came to hear the word of God, there had been individuals working on them, witnessing to them. I can think of one man and how a work colleague, an office bearer in our congregation, he witnessed to him in the workplace. He prayed for him. He invited him to gospel mission. And even when he was put off, even when he was ridiculed, that elder kept praying for him, kept witnessing to him. And eventually that man came into the services and was saved. I can think of another man and how his sister-in-law on her deathbed pleaded with him, send your children back to the Sunday school. Send them back to the Sunday school in Antrim Free Church, for they'd stopped sending. And with tears in his eyes, he told how those words, his sister dying of cancer 2 days before she died, begged him to send the children back to Sunday school. And through the children coming back to Sunday school and him sitting in the morning meeting, he came to know the Lord. Do you see how the Lord works? He works through his people, witnessing to others in a very personal way, and then through the public preaching of the gospel, brings others to himself. What a great privilege it is to have a role to play in the winning of men to Jesus. I want you to look back to Matthew chapter 4, and I must move on and quickly point out there's not only a great privilege in this text, but there's a great principle. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And I want you to notice this little bit. And I will make you. Follow me, and I, the Lord Jesus, will make you. You see, as sincere and zealous as a believer is or can be, as desirous and determined as a believer wants to be in the service of the Lord Jesus is underlining and underscoring the fact that the believer in and of themselves has no power within themselves to be a soul winner or to win others for the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus, that makes men and women successful in the work of spreading the gospel and men coming to Christ. And the Lord Jesus illustrated this truth on another occasion. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. We're saying that we have no power in and of ourselves to convert any man. It's the Lord Jesus that does the saving, and it's the Lord Jesus that makes his people effective in witnessing to bring others to himself. And he illustrated this in Luke chapter 5, and I want you to notice verse 10, because verse 10 ties this little incident in with the theme this morning. You'll notice at the end of verse 10, the Lord Jesus declares to Simon Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So what has gone before is to underline and to teach Simon Peter a lesson in catching men for Christ. And what had happened? Well, you read from verse 3 and you discover the Lord Jesus entered into Simon's little boat or ship. And it was pushed out a little way from shore, and he began to preach to the people. And when the Lord had concluded preaching, he told Simon, there in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, verse 5, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. What a sad confession that was from Simon Peter. Now remember that Simon Peter was the expert fisherman. He knew how to fish. He knew where to fish on the Sea of Galilee. And he knew the best time to fish was the evening time. We've toiled all night. He knew that he had to toil, and he was willing to toil, and he was willing to put all the effort he could, humanly speaking, into that task. He was not idle. He was not lazy in his task. And so Simon Peter knew how to fish, and where to fish, and when to fish. And he said, "Master, we've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing. How often has that been the lamentation of our hearts as God's children and God's servants? We toil, and we seem to bring in so little. We toil, and the net seems to come in empty." Yet you'll notice in verse 5 of Luke 5, Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Isn't it interesting to note? And I'll just point it out in passing. The Lord commanded Simon in verse 4 to let down the nets. That's plural. And in verse 6, we read the net brake. He only let down the one. He only partially obeyed the Lord on this occasion. But the lesson the Lord was teaching Simon Peter was that the Lord's word, it's the Lord that makes the soul winner. It's the Lord that enables the child of God to be effectual in his work and in his service for the Lord. And how does the Lord Jesus Christ make soul winners for himself? It's not by might, and it's not by power. It's not by human effort. And it's not by earthly or human persuasion, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the New Testament teaches us that it's by the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit working through the child of God, that works conviction of sin in the hearts of men and women. John 16, and I'm not going to take time to turn to these references. John 16, 7 to 12, it tells us it's the Spirit when he has come. He would reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, just before the Lord ascended into heaven, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And the power the Lord was speaking about, it was power to witness. It was power to evangelize. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." And it's the power of the Holy Ghost that enables God's people to be effective and effectual witnesses for himself. Do you know what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples? In Luke chapter 11 and the verse 13, I think it is. It is Luke 11 and 13. He taught them to pray for the Holy Ghost. He said, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask?" Oh, should we not be praying for more of the Spirit's power, for more of the Spirit's influence and work as we go about our commission and our calling of spreading the gospel? "I will make you." And he does it by infilling his people with the Spirit of God. Oh, that the Lord would infill us afresh. And fill us as we need the Spirit to serve him and spread the gospel. For every gospel venture, for every effort in ministering the word, whether it be private or public, may we pray for that endowment of the Spirit upon our labors for Christ. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. There's one final thought I want to leave with you from verse 19. We have noted from the text a great privilege. "I will make you fishers of men." We've noted a great principle. It's the Lord that does the making. It's the Lord that enables His people to see others brought to Christ. But notice in closing a great promise. For the Lord declares, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's a wonderful study in the Gospels to study the I wills of Christ. That's a promise from the Lord. And when the Lord gives a promise, nothing can overthrow it. He declares, I will make you fishers of men. The Lord used that little statement, I will, in relation to salvation. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a promise in relation to salvation. The I wills of Christ. He used it in relation to His resurrection. He said, I will see you again, to His disciples. And He rose from the dead and He saw them again. He used it in relation to His people. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He used it in relation to the building of His church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you, when the Lord says, I will, you can be sure He'll do it. Isn't that a wonderful promise for the church of Christ today? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And those disciples, I don't have time this morning to turn again to the book of Acts, but you read the early chapters of the book of Acts. And you read in chapter 4, and you read how the might of the Jewish institution of the Sanhedrin forbade the apostles to preach in the name of Jesus. They threatened them with prison. They told them, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You read in Acts chapter 12 how the might of the civil authorities threatened the disciples not to preach anymore in the name of Christ. For James was beheaded. James was put to death with a sword. And Peter was threatened likewise. And he was in prison. And they were going to do likewise with Peter. And there you have all the might of religious institutions working against the people of God. And there you have all the might of the civil powers and authorities working against the church of Christ. But Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they went out from the Jewish Sanhedrin. And the angel brought Peter out of the prison, and they just kept preaching. And thousands were saved. Why? Because Jesus said, I will. And there's not a promise He hasn't fulfilled yet. Hallelujah. May the Lord make each one of His blood-bought people fishers of men. May speak those words to our hearts. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're not going to sing a closing hymn. We'll just seek the Lord in a wee word of prayer and pray that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for each one that has been born again of the Spirit of God. Though, Heavenly Father, we realize this morning that Thou hast given to each one of Thy children through Thy word that same charge, that same commission. But Lord, we are to witness for Christ. To publish the gospel. We think of the Savior's words to the demonic when he was converted and saved. He sent him away saying, go unto thy home and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Help us to be telling others great things the Lord has done for us. And Lord, as we seek to follow Thee in simple obedience to Thy word, we pray that Thou wilt make each one of Thy children. Make me a fisher of men, Lord. And should there be those gathered with us and they're not in the gospel net, they're not in the kingdom of God, they've never been won for Christ, may they realize this day that without the Savior they'll perish. May they seek Thee while Thou art to be found. May they call upon Thee while Thou art near. And we pray they'll be born again of the Spirit of God too. Hear and answer prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Comforter, be our portion now and until Jesus comes or calls His loved ones home. We pray in His name and for His sake. Amen.